Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 110 of Star Wars and Scotch. It's another week without Andor, and the depression is really starting to settle in. How are you, Tim?
Wow, Kevin, I'm okay. I'm doing all right. It is very depressing coming home from the gym on a Wednesday and not having anything to watch, really. But you know what really brightens up my day?
Is it
a delicious cup of King's Coast coffee
that you could have got in this limited edition thermos yesterday that my wife didn't tell me? She requested one from Wayne, and Wayne sent it to her and said to Danielle, only from Wayne and Abby. And
I don't get anything from our company.
My wife had to ask. Wouldn't have sent it if I asked.
I'll talk to you about this later. Anyways, head on over to kingscoastcoffee.com and you can check out all of our holiday stuff going on. Now we got the 12 days of King's Coast going on right now. There's a very special thing going on the 9th of December, which is 2 days from right now, or you might be listening to this right now and it might be the 9th of December, but a limited time run of Dr. Lupo and I's coffee roasts. They are going to be mixed together. The Dr. Lupo Lifeline and the Darkness Blend will be mixed together for a limited time run. So head on over to kingscoastcoffee.com and pick up your bag of the Dr. Dark Loop 429 roast.
How's it feel to have your beans mixed with his?
I mean, people have been doing it for years in back alleys and dark corners, so I'm really happy that we can just, you know, come out and celebrate that Lupo and I mixed together just a delicious cup of coffee.
Yeah, I think I read some Tarkov fan fiction about that, too.
Yeah, I saw this big post, and someone was like, I called this a year ago. You know, so it's just like, people are excited for it, so it's neat. I'm all for it. You also head on over to Lab 77. We got merch going on right now. There's a I Just Want to Drink King's Coast and Watch Timmy Stream coffee mug, and there's a Darkness Fortune and beanie. Yeah,
and
they're all being made. It's my beanie, Kevin. For the listeners, if you guys don't know, my wife is making merch out of our house, and we have a merch company, and there's beanies now. She really wanted to make a beanie this year, Kevin. So she didn't make the beanie, she embroidered on the beanie. So, you know, we got embroidered beanies, we got coffee mugs now. So lab77.co.
Each beanie is hand sewn.
Handcrafted by me.
It's like back in the day when they thought you were up in New York bagging their coffee.
They thought I was bagging the coffee, but I am actually now boxing up their merch. So, I mean, it's kind of come full circle.
Yeah. And I heard Kyler was telling me about t-shirts yesterday too.
The hell did my son tell you about?
Well, we have the t-shirts outside for the GCX folks.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So he was telling me about the t-shirts and putting them in packages, and I was like, oh
child right. labor. Yeah, mm-hmm. He really good, likes man. It though. I mean, like, you can't say no to a kid that wants to work. You know, it's just like, dad, let me help. I'm like, okay, dude, sure. Yeah, get to work there, kiddo. You know, I now it has come full circle again, Kevin. You know, being a parent, I always thought my parents had me for child labor. Like, I mm-hmm. swear to God, I thought that was the only reason why my parents had four of us, was just so they didn't have to do chores around the house. Mm-hmm. And now I get it.
Yeah.
When the kid just actively wants to do it, you're just like, sure, kiddo, here you go. And then
Yeah, my daughter loves to mop, so.
It's awesome. All
right. Yeah, here's some soap, here's the water. Mommy will walk behind you. You mop. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. So yeah, and also last but not least, GCX tickets are available, gcxevent.com/tickets. The holiday sale is coming up for tickets, so we don't know when they'll be discounted. If you buy anytime from a month prior, so the month of July, the prices do go up as well. So get them when there's a discount, because there's not going to be many more chances to do that. And we'll see you in Orlando. We've been actively planning, as I daily fill Tim's inbox up with CCs, and then he mm-hmm. probably gets severe anxiety when he gets off stream going, every why did Kevin email me 72 times?
I think something's wrong when I see that many emails from Kevin, but then I realize it's okay. Just getting CC'd.
Just for visibility. I like Tim mm-hmm. to be in the loop. Anyway, Star Wars, biggest news to come out was that, of course, we're going to record the day. Is it 2 days before or the day before the Game Awards? Meaning we will not be able to see the trailer for Jedi Survivor.
We will get to see the trailer,
but we won't be able to talk about it until next week.
That's per the usual for us.
I know. They always, like, apparently Wednesday morning, everything comes out Wednesday or Thursday, from what I've learned in the Star Wars universe. Okay.
You do a quick react.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. There's a couple things I wanted to put on here, though, on this Survivor. Okay. So the press image, which I'm assuming is the cover of the game, perhaps? Planet. I've been Tatooine. Trying to figure... there's green, Tim.
Tatooine.
There's green on the left. Plants, foliage, green. And it's like vistas. It's not... I'm going to throw something out there. I know I'm wrong, but you know me. I like to say it anyway. What if it's Korriban?
Oh, fuck me.
What if they're finally going to peel that layer back and be like, hey, we know you've been asking for this since we bought the damn IP. Cal Kestis is going to Moriband, Korriban.
I don't think so.
I don't either, because why?
You know what this looks like? You know what this looks like? I really didn't take a big look into the terrain or into the background. But what I see is very similar to the planet that we landed on at the beginning. In the first one. The first Zepho planet with the big frog.
Yeah.
It kind of has that vibe.
Zepho.
I don't remember what that planet was called, but it definitely has like that vibe. Remember there was like a lot of like mesas and like, you know, you had to hop from place to place.
Mm-hmm.
Could be that, you know, we could be going back there. It would make sense to go back there. There was so much like, it was
Bogano.
Bogano. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bogano. That's right. Bogano. I remember this. Yeah. What if we go back to Bogano?
That'd be interesting. I mean, that makes more sense than Korriban.
I mean, but this looks like Arizona.
Right, but that's what Korriban is, a desert, much like Tatooine, but there is green on the planet. And I don't know. The sunset color is throwing me off. I know it's sunset, so that's probably
so pretty. What do you think of Cal Kestis with a beard?
I think it's an attempt to make him look, you know, a little bit older and a little bit more grown
up. He looks a little evil.
The interesting part is if you look at the pre-purchase bonuses, he doesn't mm-hmm. have a beard in the pre-purchase bonuses. So it might be just a simple cosmetic thing that you could turn on and off.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you see the mantis in the back.
Yep.
And then there's like this building that's off to the left. I really hope that with Survivor, we lean more into like the Zepho stuff. I hope we don't go like Korriban, like Sith. I really hope we lean more into like the story that they're trying to tell instead of trying to be all fan service. Because there was a lot of questions that were left.
There could be reasons for him to like, go there, though.
Yeah.
For the, because he has the Force sensitive, well, he had the Force sensitive list and whatnot. So there could be reasons for him to go there. There could be knowledge that he needs to obtain, an item, something. So there could be reasons for him to go there. Again, just, I don't think that's it.
I think you just Logano really like Korriban. Sense.
It's my one of my favorite places in KOTOR, SWTOR.
Yeah.
You know, I watched a video on it yesterday about how to, if you, the three options with one of the Sith acolytes, Yathuraban, you can either redeem her, kill her, or convert her.
Oh.
So, and I was watching three up because every time I do it, I end up killing her. Because if you remember, the dialogue options in those games were so difficult to achieve outcome you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up getting frustrated. You're like, ah, fuck it. I'm going to stab you with my lightsaber.
That's how, that's how my, oh crap. Hold on. What's the other BioWare game? Mass Effect. That's how my Mass Effect playthrough went for I went back and played the first Mass Effect a couple years ago. And I got to the point where I was just like, F it. And I just started killing everybody. And everyone in my playthrough I killed that I ran up against. And that was the meme. And so it's just like, you're right. You do get to a point where you get so frustrated with the dialogue sequence that you're just like, F it. I just want to get quickly as I can through this. And like, that's why I think we won't get a rehash of Knights of the Republic. Like, it has to be an updated, it has to be something that flows, like the cinematic, like the dialogue sequences have to be a almost like Detroit Becomes Human, like a supermassive game, or even like a whoever makes Detroit Becomes Human, Quantum Dreams. So like, it has to be like something that is cinematic and very visually appealing, but then you also have control and direction of those segments as well. So you feel like you're actually like making the decisions and your character really is your own. Like, that's what those games really bring to light. But then they also have like fun. They don't have like the fun action sequences that you would expect. So like, if we could get like a really cool hybrid of Jedi Fallen Order or Jedi Survivor, and then like a supermassive game, mix those two together. Oh my God. You would have just like the perfect Star Wars game.
I think they're going to refine the dialogue in those games because you had paths and dialogue that you could take to get interesting outcomes, Easter eggs, things like that. I think they're going to bunch it up a little bit more, but make more branches like the Quantic Dream or the Telltale games, and kind of make it more like that, where it's like, okay, instead of three different options, there's 20 now, but you know, the dialogue won't be as convoluted to get to those 20. Like, it's going to really be based on your decision and not having to just say certain things to get to a certain path, which 22 years ago made complete sense. Like, it just wasn't advanced. Now it's at a point where we want the lore, we want the dialogue, but we don't want to have to sit there and, you know, look
exactly
up the prima guides on how to get the outcome you want. Instead, it's like, I want to see, you know, your first playthrough always goes, I want to see what my answers would result in. That's how I play. And then, and then I did this with Detroit. I did what I called the Terminator ending, where I was like, just kill all humans. And then I did like peace at all costs. So those are my three Detroit playthroughs. So I'll probably do something similar with Knights, and see what you get. Other interesting thing about Survivor, Tim, that you notice on the pre-purchases, you get the Hermit cosmetic, the Scoundrel, which looks a lot like Han, the Rebel Hero, which looks like every Rebel Hero, Luke mostly, but blasters, Tim.
Blasters.
There's a combustion blaster set on the Hermit collection, and there's a DL-44 blaster set.
Ooh,
on
like the
DL-44. Yeah, on the Galactic Hero sets. Did blaster combat?
Yeah, so that's really interesting. I guess they're going to give you more options so that you can do more than just use your lightsaber. Cause Kel isn't, he's kind of like Ezra, you know, like where he was kind of trained in the Force, but his master died and he was still really young. So he's self-taught. And, who's the female that's with them? I can't think of her name, but anyways, she used to be a Jedi and she did the cut myself off from the Force ritual. And so she's not like she's not connected to the Force, but she still has all that training. So for her to teach him makes sense. But for him to like rely on tools and items that are like in his arsenal that is outside of a lightsaber makes complete sense. So for us to have like blaster options, that's really interesting. I wonder why they aren't leaning more into lightsaber combat and why they want to give him a blaster, unless we're going to end up playing more than just Cal in this game. That's the only thing I could think of.
It could be Siri, by the way, is her name. It could be some sort of Ezra hybrid combat too, where you have blaster in one hand, lightsaber in the other.
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah, perhaps it's an option, like two lightsabers, one lightsaber, two blaster. That would be more like knights, though. Knights,
I wouldn't like could, that.
Yeah, knights.
No, because it would be so drastic from hit. Wow. The Rebel Hero cosmetic is Luke from episode 4 at the end at the ceremony. Yeah. And then that's Han Solo from episode 4. That's crazy. I'm just now looking at it.
That's Han's blaster.
That's the DL-44 is Han's blaster.
The BD cosmetic looks like
the Hermit lightsaber R2. is Obi-Wan's lightsaber. The Rebel Hero lightsaber definitely looks like Luke's from Return of the Jedi. That's interesting. They're just throwing those cosmetics. I don't know why they just didn't call it Luke Skywalker. Like, what? It's funny they call it the Rebel Hero cosmetic and the Scoundrel cosmetic. That's interesting. And then like the Astro BD-1 cosmetic is R2-D2.
Yep.
That's so good, dude. It's fantastic. I love the Hermit cosmetic. It looks just like Obi-Wan. It's like it's a mixture of Obi-Wan old and Obi-Wan new, because he's got like the armor bracers.
Mm-hmm.
But then he also has like the blaster goggles from the end, when he was like, hello there, when he talks to iPad Luke. And so, like, yeah, that's really, really good. Those are just little details that no one's really going to give a shit about unless you, like, really love Star Wars. And that's great. Like, this is, like, and it's, like, for some people, they're like, oh, this is cool. And then for other people, like, this is really neat. Like, I like that they threw in this level of detail. I wish there was a collector's edition, though. Like, I'm really bummed that, again, another Jedi game that doesn't have a collector's edition.
Well, there's a deluxe edition. But that's all cosmetic. You want
it's
like
all cosmetics. Yeah, I want it. But this is very EA right now. They did the same thing for Battlefield 2042. We tried so hard to convince them to do a physical collector's edition, and they're just like, "What if we just give you more DLC stuff?" I'm like, I don't fucking care. I want to put it on my shelf. They don't get it. Yeah. So EA is very heavy in digital, like collector stuff. And it's just like, okay.
Because it costs money to manufacture.
I know. This is nothing. This is just a couple of man hours that they, like, you know, draw this up and texture it and shit. It's a lot easier than going through like R&D and making physical items. But a physical Jedi Survivor collector's edition would have been nice.
How funny would it have been if the rugged BD cosmetic, the Han Solo one, was just like a furry Chewie costume for BD?
That'd be so cool. Not gonna lie.
If you're going to lean into it, at least lean into it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like, or if he would have had like Chewbacca's like his like sash, that'd be really cool. Just a little thing like hanging over him. That'd be neat. But I do like the Astro one.
I'll say this. I love the BD cosmetics. Everything else I'm not really a fan of.
I'm not. Yeah.
I don't like a copy paste from other stuff into a new character and experience. I would rather find my own cosmetics in the world.
Yep.
Or do that stuff. So I'm hoping that this is just like Easter egg, have fun, and the stuff in the game is more geared to the story and things like that. So that's
this happens every time, though, is like whenever the cosmetics and they're like, get your deluxe edition, you'll get all these early things extra and blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, but what happens when I get to the end game? All the shit that I find at end game should, in theory, be better than what I get at the beginning. So
yeah,
I'm kind of like, whatever.
So Game Awards are tomorrow night. And we are getting a gameplay trailer for Survivor. So, action packed gameplay is the exact quote from EA. So I would assume it's a mix of cinematic and in game, or it's one of those cinematics where they put the little stamp at the beginning that says this was created, you know, using in game footage, something along those lines. Do you have any specific expectations, Tim, or are you just
for Survivor?
Yeah.
I think, I mean, like, Honestly, I don't know. This has been so up and down as far as like the things that they give us. They've kept this very, very close to the chest. You know, we've gotten our leaks, you know, the idea of like Starkiller becoming like canon and him being reintroduced. That's really exciting. There's still a lot of question marks. Like Jedi Fallen Order is still like one of my favorite Star Wars games that I've played in like in a long time, like in a really, really, really long time. So I think the bar is already set really high. So my expectation coming into this is just going to be a continuation of what I experienced the first game, really, because it's such a good game. Like, and it still holds up. The game's 4 years old. I went back and played it two or three months ago. And I got all the way to the third sister, the second sister, whoever the big one is, the big fifth sister, whoever that character is. And I fought her and like on playing on Kashyyyk was just like so neat. You know, like that whole action sequence is just phenomenal. There's just really not a bad moment in that game. It's just really, really fun. And it itches a lot of different things. You know, you've got like the Dark Souls style combat. You've got amazing storytelling from Respawn. Respawn knows how to tell a really damn good story. They're very, very good storytellers. So you've got the action packedness from Respawn, just from what they're known for. You've got like Dark Souls style combat, which everyone loves. It's really hard to like find somebody who just doesn't like either openly love it or secretly love it. Like, there's everybody finds like enjoyment in getting punched in the face repeatedly in a video game, because it's like, it's that thing of like, man, if I play this on ultra hard and I beat it, it's so satisfying. Like, that's the kind of things that I got from Jedi Fallen Order, which was super fun. And then it just continued answering more lore questions. Like, just all these little pieces that they put in to the game was just super fun for me as like a super Star Wars fan. And I'm not even like, there's people who know way more about Star Wars than I do. And I still like, I think I like throw myself up there in like the top percent of like Star Wars fans. And so like, it's just a good game. It's a great game. It's super fun. And so that's my expectation, is a continuation and an increase of where we go next. Cause just like the first game blew my pants off, and I'm just expected to have that times 10 for the second one, or it's going to flop. You know, it's just like that. And that's how it is. And I don't think it's going to. So that's why I feel like I can confidently say that like my expectation is high to get another amazing blockbuster video game, because the first one was so good. And it's really hard to go from being like really, really good to really, really crap that quickly. Yeah. You know, especially like there's a lot riding on this game. There's a lot of like, I mean, not just us. I mean, there's a lot of people that are holding high expectations for this game. So that's where I'm at, Kevin. It's like, I don't want to ruin it for myself and say like, all these things are going to happen and then nothing comes to fruition. I'm just really excited just to play another lightsaber or like a Jedi combat focused video game, because like that in of itself is super fun in a video game setting. I know we talk about like Andor and like how we say that like not having a force sensitive person or like not having a superhero is great. And I think from like a visual perspective, like from a storytelling perspective, things get very, very interesting when it's not, when the person isn't utilizing the force or a lightsaber to get to their end goal. But this type of character, I really like this type of like fallen Jedi, you know, like we saw with Ezra. I think Ezra was of a more interesting character in the Star Wars universe because he wasn't like this all-knowing, all-powerful Jedi. He plays around the dark side a little bit. He loses his master. He goes through all of these things, and he was a lot more relatable than like Anakin or Obi-Wan. You know, they're just so high and mighty and sometimes pious. And then you've got like the more people, like the people like Ezra or Kel, who have gone through like traumatic trauma of like watching Order 66 happen in front of them. And like, or even like Ahsoka is like kind of like the same way. So like I throw Kel and Ezra and even Ahsoka into like that same group of like really fun force sensitive characters that just aren't like the traditional like Luke Skywalker or Obi-Wan Kenobi, which is, so it's a lot more enjoyable for me.
I agree with everything you said. I don't think it can fail. I think the worst case scenario is going to be like, the story in one was better. I think that's our absolute worst case scenario.
It's going to be so hard though, because it feels like when from a story perspective, they barely scratch the surface. You introduce all of this shit. We go to Dathomir. We get that line opened up. we see the Zeffo, and we still, like, the only really big thing you see of the Zeffo is when you get to their burial chamber, when you go to the mausoleum and you see this massive sarcophagus that you're like riding on top of, which is like really, really neat. But like from a storytelling perspective, we really didn't get to touch much on it. Like we know that they're an ancient civilization. They have these puzzles that they use to open up doors and like all those things. They use the elements. So like they're more like in tune with the elements and things like that. But outside of that, we don't know much. And so it's like, how do you just like leave us at this door and you don't push us through that? So like, I would really, really hope that that is a main part of the storytelling.
Yeah. And it's a trilogy. We know that as well. So mm-hmm. this is kind of an important piece. The second one, you know, if you look at traditional Star Wars trilogies, Empire Strikes Back, obviously the most successful one and most, I would say large majority of Star Wars fans say that's their favorite movie. Mine's Jedi. Empire's number
two. I like Jedi a lot more than Empire, but Empire's good.
You know, but Attack of the Clones was, it's probably one of the worst. I would say the second worst.
What? What's weird about that, though, is everyone's like, I love Attack of the Clones. It's so good. It's like, no, you like the battle sequence at the end.
Which isn't even that good, let's be honest.
Which isn't awesome. But like, I'm telling you, that is what everybody, that is the scene that everybody loves when it comes to Attack of the Clones. Because they're like, oh, well, that's the start of Clone Wars. And I love Clone Wars. And it's like, okay, you're right. Yeah. But like, if you look at everything else in that movie, it's ass. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that movie's not even saved in the way the Phantom Menace is saved by Duel of the Fates. Duel of the Fates just salvages everything in Phantom Menace. But then you have Last Jedi. I like the end of Last Jedi. I think that is a great part where Luke and Kylo face off. The main problem I have with The Last Jedi is Rose and Finn. That just,
it was forced.
Oh God, atrocious.
I love the actress. I think she does a great job. I think her character, I think the writing were
nothing
abused.
Wrong with her. The story was terrible. Yeah. She's fine. I like people who are mean to her are just assholes. So if you look at the way you build towards a third movie, I would say it's the same thing with the game. You know, and they had every intention to do this with the Knights of the Old Republic game, but instead of making a third one, they made an MMO, which people were like, why'd you do that? Mm-hmm. So the second one's very important because it's going to lead into, you know, the culmination of the story and everything we've been building for. So while you see the first one was building, you know, where you have to build a universe, we know the universe, but you're building the story. The second one's going to be probably some pretty significant execution, introduction of, you know, the characters that'll play a role in the final part that we haven't met yet. So there is some significance, which makes sense. If Starkiller is a part of this game, it makes complete sense as to why Starkiller would be, you know, in the game in the second part of it. So we'll see. You know, I don't really watch the Game Awards. It's just everything I want to see about the Game Awards ends either get tagged in or I watch the trailers the next morning because, you know, keep my mouth shut. But so. It's going to be good. I think Tim and I are going to be very excited when we come next week, talk about it. You know, we can do a reaction video on Friday too, and get that out there as well. But I think people are going to be excited for this. Supposedly it comes out in March. That's the rumor. And I'm sure we'll find out tomorrow night.
Yeah. We'll get a release date.
Yeah. So yeah. Jedi, Survivor trailer tomorrow, Game Awards, December 8th. And then we'll get a release date and, see what
you think. We'll get another Eclipse trailer.
No.
Aw. Do you think we're going to get any other Star Wars games announcements, though?
Maybe the announcement for the Ubisoft one.
Oh, I keep on forgetting that's even a thing. Mm-hmm. Who else is making Star Wars games right now?
Ubisoft, EA, Aspyre Lost
but
there.
But EA is like, so currently EA is not even working on, they were doing an Iron Man game. Like, what's coming up next for EA right now? Like, Respawn's technically, like, its own thing. Like, Respawn doesn't even like to consider themselves as EA. So, like, they're their own thing. So, Respawn's got that.
Is DICE the same way, too?
DICE is essentially EA. Like, yeah, I mean, like, DICE essentially right now is just the company that creates Frostbite.
So, if they're working on Battlefront 3.
Oh, no. Oh, Kevin. No. No, they will get destroyed if they try doing that.
The Switch mobile games doesn't come out.
Which was announced at like the beginning of this year. It was supposed to be coming out in like March or something, like March or April.
That was announced at Game Awards like 2 years ago.
It was last year.
Was it last
year? It was last year, and it was like it's coming out in 2022, and we were constantly like, oh, that makes sense. They'll say, and play it now here at Star Wars Celebration or whatever, and that never happened.
I have never forgiven the Game Awards for what they did to Fallen Order. Like, never. That was the moment where I was like, this is...
What did they do to Fallen Order?
They said it missed the cutoff in 2019 by a few days.
Oh.
And then it was too late for 2020.
Yes.
Look, yes. It wouldn't have won either year, but it should have been in the conversation.
Oh, agreed. 100%.
Because God of War won 1 year and Breath of the Wild won the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And Breath of the Wild... I still think Horizon deserved it over Breath of the Wild. We can argue about that till the cows.
Oh, Horizon definitely should have beat out Breath of the Wild.
Right, but that's very contentious. Like, both games could easily deserve it. And then the 2020 was Red Dead. It wouldn't have beat Red Dead, and it wouldn't have beat
Red Dead.
Oh, Red
Dead deserved that, though. But that was also, that was like Red Dead, and then Fortnite was the year before. Yeah, that was a weird time for gaming.
Fortnite was 18 because it was, I remember saying, how did a game still in beta just one game of the year?
Oh my God, that's right, Kevin, because I went home the next day because they announced the 50-50. Holy crap, I forgot about that because I was there. Wow. Man, time has flown, Kevin. We're old.
Yeah.
Holy crap, dude.
We are old.
What a ride.
Hey, we're still on this ride, buddy.
What a ride. That's what I'm saying. What a ride so far, dude.
Speaking of the ride, the writers for Mando Season 3 were revealed. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Episode 1, Jon Favreau. Episode 2, Jon Favreau.
That's going to fuck.
Episode 3, Noah Clore and Jon
Favreau. Who the hell is that?
We're going to look him up right now. IMDb.
He's a part of the crew now.
Well, this is writers, not directors.
That's what I'm saying. He's part of the crew now.
Noah Clore. Noah wrote on the Book of Boba Fett.
Nice.
He wrote on other Mandalorian episodes. And he wrote a TV special called Alien Xmas.
Nice, dude. I'm excited for those.
Episode 4, Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni. So that'll probably be an important episode because Dave only comes in on either really fun Easter egg episodes or important. Episode 5. Want to take a guess, Tim?
No.
Jon Favreau. Episode 6. Want to take a guess again?
No.
Jon Favreau.
Okay. Maybe the next one I'll get.
Episode 7.
Let me guess. Dave Filoni.
And Jon Favreau.
Damn. Okay, hold on. I'll get the next one.
And episode 8.
Is it Jon Favreau?
You did it!
Yay!
So Filoni's in on 2 episodes. Noah Clore's writing 1 episode. Jon Favreau's doing every episode. So that's where we sit, which I'm fine with because that's pretty much been Mandalorian. So
I mean, Jon Favreau knows what he's doing. So it's like between him and Dave. Like
I did learn last week that the reason there's no Elf 2 is because Jon Favreau and Will Ferrell got into it.
Yeah, apparently Will Ferrell and Jon Favreau don't like each other. You told me about this. Go. What was the whole thing? It was originally Jim Carrey was supposed to be in it.
Originally Jim Carrey was Buddy, and then they recast to Will Ferrell, and then there was another writer, and then John came in, scrapped that script, and rewrote the whole script.
I mean, he did a great job. So, I mean, like, I don't know why Will's grumpy.
But
about
by
it.
This point, the budget and the timeline was stretched. So they went to New York City to film and there was all sorts of issues.
Is that why he was so low budget?
Yeah, that's exactly why it was so low budget. And there was a time crunch and everyone was really, they said filming was extremely stressful. And they got it done and they made one of, at this point, it's a holiday classic, in my opinion.
It is a holiday classic. Like, you have to watch Elf. During December.
I already watched it twice this year.
Same.
That's kind of the story, which I found very interesting because I love Will that's Ferrell so and I love Jon Favreau. Yeah. The fact that they don't like each other makes my heart hurt a little bit.
Yeah, that's Hollywood, so. I guess. People don't talk.
Hollywood is a very interesting place.
Stabby stab.
Very, very, very. When it, my old job was Hollywood adjacent, so I used to hear dirt on people, and I'd be like, "Oh, okay, I didn't know they slept with a prostitute. That's nice." Could just go to a bar and say, "I'm so and so," and probably save some money, but whatever works.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Mando season three writers. Not much news to report there. Is it just kind of like looks good?
It's coming out in March, right? So, I mean, it's going to be right around the same time as Jedi Survivor. So,
oh man, March is going to be packed for us.
It's going to be wild, dude.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm excited. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to pay some bills with some ads, and Tim and I will be right back. We're going to talk about Solo, the interesting news there, Acolyte, and a little bit of Andor before we get out of here. So, Tim and I will be right back with more Star Wars and Scotch in just a minute.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And we're back. Thank you for letting us pay the bills. So John Kasdan, who co-wrote Solo, feels very strongly that Solo could have worked better as a series than a movie.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
I agree with that 1,000%. But think of the hijinks and the adventures that you could have sent Han and Chewie on.
But we can say that now because we've seen Solo, and then we've also seen what a fully flushed out Star Wars show looks like. The thought of a Star Wars show when Solo came out, what, 4 years ago, 5 years ago? Longer, yeah, it was like 5 years ago, right? The thought of a Star Wars TV show was so far outside our realm of reality. It's not even funny. They were like, oh, there's no way in hell we could get an 8 to 12 episode Star Wars show. But now seeing it, like how Cassian gets so flushed out, Kevin, and just like how great, look, Cassian Andor's up for awards now. Like, yeah, right. Oh my God. But could you imagine if we got a fully fleshed out Solo show within the confines of what they used for that movie? Like that train heist would have been so much better. The fucking Kessel run. Oh my God. It would have been so awesome. So yeah, I agree. I think like even if they were to go back and flush out, like kind of like how they've done with Rogue One and they gave Andor his own show, Like, if they were to give Solo his own show, bring all the actors back and do that, oh my God, you could flesh out the whole Kira storyline. You could bring Maul back. Oh, Kevin. Oh my God.
Could have left Woody Harrelson's character alive longer.
Yeah. What's his nuts with the yacht? Can't think of his name right now. Drago. Oh. You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
We could do a whole thing about him.
You know, you paid all this money to have Daenerys Targaryen be in it. You could have stretched that out.
They have to bring her back at some point. If they don't flush out Kira's storyline, I'm going to be upset.
Dryden Vos.
I knew I started with a D.
You also could have really dove into Enfys' story in the beginning of the rebellion. Because she's another
at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. And uh-huh. You know, she's another Marvel crossover actor, as most of that's what Disney does. So she's used to working on a show because she was on Falcon and Winter Soldier.
She was. Yeah. She was off. Yeah. She was the bad guy.
So I feel like could have had some fun with that. And
but I mean, like, the budgets and stuff were in place. So like, I get it. But man, like, what if they went back and just did a Solo show? I think people would eat it up. It would then people would go back and watch the movie. I guarantee you Rogue One has seen an uptick in streams. I guarantee you people have gone back and watched a lot of Rogue One lately.
I like Alden Ehrenreich as Han Solo.
I think he's a great Solo.
It's the one actor that I haven't had an issue with replacing the original actor with someone new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a lie, because I also love Donald Glover as Lando. So like, what if that's the Lando show? What if it's just the two of them and Chewie? Like,
so here's my problem with this, and I think what's going to happen is we aren't going to get a Solo show because of what they're doing at ILM. Have you seen the Indiana Jones trailer?
I did. And
did you see all of the flashbacks to young Harrison Ford that looks like he came right out of fucking Star Wars?
I did.
1981 Harrison Ford looks really real.
Mm-hmm.
I was a couple of times when I watched on my phone and I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, this is neat. And then I saw the scene where he like breaks into the train. I was like, that's young Harrison Ford. I was like, I don't remember this scene. I thought they took it from the movie. But they took it from an old Indiana Jones movie. It's like, no, that's a new shot.
Yeah.
So like, and here's the whole thing. And we keep coming back to this. We talked about it a lot during Boba Fett. You know, when we saw Luke, we know that they've used Mark Hamill as the body double. And then, or they've also used like Sebastian Stan, and they've put them like in place, you know, and then they've done the whole like digital, you know, masking and everything that they've done. They've gotten really good at it. I mean, you can tell from where we were at Mando season one, all the way at the end of season one, all the way to now. No, it was season two. Season two, when we saw Luke's face. Season two to the end of to now, ILM has increased their performance and overall just like quality output 100 times. And it all started by hiring that one kid from YouTube, which was just insane. How like one person showcasing how they can do it better, the completely just exponentially shot that level of production through the roof. And so I don't think we're going to see another actor come in and play an iconic character like that. I think going forward, as much as I love Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian, I think they're going to try to find ways of utilizing young Danny Glover as, no, wait, that's wrong. Who plays? There's too many names now, Kevin, in my head. Who plays freaking Lando?
Billy D. Williams.
If we have young Billy D come in and be that character again, or bring in, you know, Harrison Ford, or like we did, we saw with Tarkin or Leia, you know, like I think that's the direction they want to go. And so we won't see a Solo show unless it's completely done that way. And I don't think people are going to bite into that.
If it's a flashback like we saw in Indiana Jones, or it's a cameo like Rogue One when we see Tarkin, I think, or Luke, I think the technology is fine. If you're going to make a whole series or something like that, I feel like you have to just recast the person and bite the bullet and move forward. And like we've seen success with both. So I think it has
pre-Disney Plus, though. Remember, pre-Disney success Plus. Pre-Disney Plus, and now we have success post-Disney Plus. And so where's your highest return?
Think how long it would take them to make an entire series where they use that technology.
I don't know, Kevin. Shit's getting kind of weird as far as like how fast you can streamline this stuff.
The Luke, if you read up on the Luke stuff, it took them months just to get the face where they wanted it. And it's still some guy on the internet did it better than them.
But that's the whole thing, though, is that one person with the knowledge set and the ability to do it could do an entire team's work. And so like that's the thing, though, is like in a couple years, the idea of a dead actor, actress, older actor or actress coming in like and having their young self put into a screenshot, into a movie or into a show, that's going to be a very normal thing in the next 10 years. And people won't bat an eye to it because they're a character. They're a character that gets to live on for forever now. And why wouldn't you, from a continuity standpoint, why wouldn't you want to utilize those assets versus going out and getting new assets? Like if you can AI modulate voices, like we see with Darth Vader, right? Because now he can't do it. And then now we're seeing like Indiana Jones and we're seeing young Harrison Ford come back. What's to say in 5 years, we don't have a completely AI-driven show that is doing the dialogue, is doing the voices, and it's doing the young faces. And all you have is body doubles. And then people actually like talking out the lines, and then they just come back over and dub it. Like that's where I think Star Wars, when it comes to these types of shows, because the amount of people that threw a fit, I don't think he looks like this. I don't think he looks like this. Like I think they want to get away from that, and they want to make sure they never hear that bitch fest again. And they're like, here, you don't like the way that this new Han Solo looks? Here, have the old one. That's just from a continuity standpoint in the way that they're going. I think that's the way they're going to go. We're in that world now, Kevin, like, and it's kind of scary to think about, but I think that's where we're going. Okay. Look at Twitch streamers now, dude, when they're doing all their freaking mocaps and it's just one person in a room with a camera and a mocap suit and some programs running. I mean, like, people are doing it in their house.
The guy, because I've been playing WoW again because of the expansion, and the guy, there's an add-on for WoW called Tomcat. Remember the Tomcat GPSs? So it's essentially an in-game GPS with coordinates and all
that stuff.
So the developer streams on Twitch. I found him in the directory.
Uh-huh.
He uses the I don't know what it's called, whatever that masking technology is, and he is literally a cat. He is the Tomcat.
He's using like face cam.
Yeah, he's using the face cam rig or whatever it is, and he's a black cat, the Tomcat. And it's just, I tune in and I'm sometimes he's playing, sometimes he's actually writing code for the app and stuff, and I'm just like, man, this is just. I remember when that first hit, because when you're on Twitch, you know, you kind of stick to what you know and what you do. You do the same thing on Facebook because you're so established. But I will never forget when the face rig stuff first blew up. I was on Mixer at the time, and I turned on Mixer the night that it really started to go. And all I saw was just face rig. Because everybody was trying the new thing.
It was free. You could just try it. Yeah.
And everyone was trying the new thing to try and be the one that caught on, because that's all it is when it comes to this stuff. You know, new streaming platform pops up yesterday. Like, everyone runs over there. Guy's thing was like number one WoW streamer on Kick, and which he was. So you know, it's just interesting knowing that and how easy it was to adapt to that. So it does support your argument of, you know, this could be the future.
Yeah,
there's something though about a performance.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
You know, maybe it is the masking, but you know, it's Childish Gambino underneath. And that's, you know, he's still playing it, but it is Billy Dee Williams.
And
so, you know, we don't know, because it was Luke in Mandalorian that was Mark Hamill. Yeah. So,
mm-hmm.
You know,
also like and Mark's a bigger guy. So seeing him like in his Jedi outfit, like older and bigger, was really interesting, because it definitely looked like he didn't fit in it. But then when you see him in Mando, like, the character model is completely like slendered out, but they used him as references. They wanted to see how does Mark Hamill do it.
Right.
And it's all, so they had to get him in character. You get him in character, you make him become Luke, and he was Luke. He owned it. And that's so cool. They were literally able to just like completely change the way he looked in those shots. So it was cool.
Yeah, no, you couldn't get Harrison Ford to play it now because.
He also just, like, I don't think he really loves it, to be honest. I think he's like, this damn theme song follows me everywhere.
That was the Indiana Jones one.
I know, but I'm saying, like, I feel like he's like that with his other stuff too, where he's just like, this damn Star Wars theme song.
Why does he keep acting then?
I don't know. His money.
So, Acolyte cast Margarita Lavivia. She was in Adventureland, Lincoln Lawyer, and a few other movies. So that's the latest casting on that. No real big update there because they keep releasing who they're casting, but I believe they're filming already. So, you know, I'm sure we're going to find out more along the way. And the last bit we have before Tim and I run out of here for the day is what Tim mentioned earlier, that Andor is nominated for Critic Choice Awards, Best Drama Series, and Diego Luna is nominated for Best Actor in a Drama Series. So I have a feeling the buck will not stop there when it comes to awards, and hopefully we see Andor clean up. And hopefully that puts attention on it, because that show deserves to be watched by everyone. I think now that it's done, I'm going to sit down with Danielle and make her watch it, because I think she will enjoy the spy aspect of it. I just wanted to go the journey first and make sure that it was something she'd give a shit about. So
yeah,
I think she'll enjoy it. But yeah, that's it for this week.
That's it.
I know it's a little bit shorter, but we'll talk about Convergence next week. I have thoughts on that.
Have you started listening to it?
5 hours in, so I have about 10 hours left. We'll talk about Convergence next week. Obviously, Tim and I won't be done with it for probably another at least 2 or 3 more weeks, but we'll give our first impressions. And we'll dive into some other stuff. We do have the Rare Drop Roundtable coming up. It should be out. Make sure you stay posted to my socials, Tim's socials, and Star Wars and Scotch, which is at Star Wars and Scotch, Facebook, Twitter, and all of the other social places. You can follow Tim, fb.gg/darkness429. Not playing Callisto Protocol, Tim.
Not playing Callisto Protocol. We're going to try to get a nuke in Call of Duty today. And then we got new games coming next week. So High on Life. High on Life next week. So we'll be playing that.
All righty. Well, and I'm Kevin X Vision on Twitter, KMagic101 on Instagram. And again, follow Star Wars and Scotch, rate, review, subscribe, do all the things. We'll see you next week for episode 111 of Star Wars and Scotch.
Ooh, I like that.
You all have a fantastic week, and we will see you then.
May the Force be with you.
Always.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.